All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Tuesday, August 23rd. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
James off the air was doing his radio host impersonations, leading in with some songs. If we were ever to start spinning record tracks here, he would be the logical fit in. We are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, helping you build Major League Baseball lineups for DraftKings and FanDuel. Head over to the site, take a look at all of our projections for every baseball player on a given slate, and you can also grab a free 3-day trial to those projections. Powered by Lineup Lab, it helps you calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. And if you grab that right now, you're also going to get NFL included. We don't do separate subscriptions for sports, MLB, and NFL, all included under one umbrella. We have projections up for week one already, and we're really, really excited about all the things we have offered for NFL this season. NFL podcast, I think, first one recorded right after this. So we'll have it be on a different channel, but we'll have a link to that in there. So you're going to get your total fill of DFS today, MLB and NFL. And I think I actually just nailed the first minute and a half of this podcast. What do you think, bud?
I think you did.
I like how you've kept in character on the radio voice. All right, we have
the silky smooth sounds of James in the morning. This one's coming at you from Elton John. It's Tiny Dancer. I think it's good.
That was really good.
I'm sticking with it.
We're going to use that as, we could probably just send that out to like, as like a sizzle reel to a couple different radio stations.
They still do that?
I think sizzle reel is actually for videos. But it probably works. No one would have known if I hadn't corrected myself. All right. We have a Tuesday full slate of baseball going today. Coming off an evening where a lot of good pitchers went last night. Tyon was awesome. Lester was awesome. Who's the other guy? There was someone else that was. Price was awesome. So yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
The three top pitchers from the three top pitchers from our site that we had in terms of projections and points per dollar really kind of crushed it last evening. And then we just got a little bit buzzed by some Baltimore bats at the top of the lineup because AJ Cole also was just running through their lineup with strikeouts. It was an interesting night of baseball, but we're on to Tuesday. All right, dude. Let's talk a little bit about the pitching here. Let's just start here. Arrieta is facing the Cubs. Is this your top guy coming into this slate, or is there anyone else we can even consider as a tippy-top option for cash games?
Normally, I'd love Arrieta, but if he's going to face the Cubs today, that does not sound like a good matchup. And it sounds unusual, frankly, as well.
That's my bad.
But he would go and face it just trying to keep it even because the Padres are so bad? Or
he's pitching for the Cubs and the Padres? That would make it for an interesting game.
That's what I mean. He just stays out there. You know, it's like an automatic quarterback in backyard football.
That's right. Yeah. Automatic cue. That's a great call. that is what he should do. Instead of Christian Friedrich, I love that idea.
He's like just somebody's dad. He's the only guy that can throw strikes. So he just has to keep pitching.
Steady cue. Yeah, I love it. All right, go ahead.
Arrieta. Arrieta is going to be the chalkiest of chalk plays, I would have to think. I mean, there's some other good arms going today, but he should be considered in a league of his own, I think. The only pitcher even of his caliber going is probably Bumgarner. But Bumgarner against the Dodgers is just not nearly the same kind of matchup that Arrieta facing the Padres is. The Dodgers are, let's see, the eighth in the league against lefties this year. Yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah, he's basically, Bumgarner is basically a pick'em at this point against the Dodgers, where Arrieta is minus 240 right now. I mean, that's not even, obviously just not even in the same category in terms of like win expectation coming in. The implied run lines are around the same, where the Dodgers are around a little less than 3.2 and the Padres are a little less than 3.1. So they're really, really close for implied runs, but just the amount of points you get based on maybe just calculating some of those win points makes it not even close, really. And the Padres K a ton against righties. I know they've improved a little bit over the course of the season by adding some lefty bats with Jankowski, Schimp, and Dickerson north the top of the lineup. So, like we said before, they're not exactly the same righty strikeout train that they were at the beginning.
And the names you just mentioned, half the audience is going, who? What name did he say? Shit, you know? Like, and I know that those guys are all DFS-relevant guys, but, yeah, no one that is gonna make you not take a pitcher like Arrieta.
It's not enough to pivot me off of him just because I don't think the other options are in the same, like you said, in the same category really. And the Padres still, even when you get past that top of the order, which isn't exactly like, you know, the mid 2000 Yankees or something like that, or some, they Once you get past that group of guys, the bottom of the order is rough too. This is just an easy lock and load for me today. I don't think you at 11,000 on FanDuel. I mean, it's pricey, but it's not to the point where it's out of bounds. And then on DraftKings, I think you're going to be able to roster him with a cheaper starting pitcher too. So I'm not really worried about it there either. And then, so we will go through a couple of the names that drop in below him. You mentioned Bumgarner, another guy who is taken. I can't believe this, but he's taking the mound again today is Salazar. So Salazar, he goes a couple weeks ago. He goes out, just gets rocked by the Twins, goes on the DL. No, excuse me, doesn't go on the DL. Pitches a simulated game, comes back out, pitches one inning against, I think it was the White Sox. Doesn't even last, gets through one inning, gets, it just looks all over the place. The ball's flying all over the place. They take him out, and then he's pitching again today. Like, I don't get it with him, Salazar. Like, what is
the. Yeah, I mean, is it even worth, like, going down that road again? To me, it just feels like absolutely not. Like, I would be. Sure, the guy's got upside, but do you want to see him pitch five innings in a game before you put him in your DFS cash game lineup? Seems like it.
I dusted his projection off this morning. I cleaned it off to like look at it again. I dusted it in terms of I just I ghosted it. I made sure that he just wasn't a guy that was going to show up here anymore because you know the system's not going to be able to looking at outward projections. It's not going to be able to figure out some of these relevant things that are big concerns, and we don't.
It's going to take some contextual information. Like our system doesn't scrape Roto World and read about, you know, how a guy is, how hurt he is, or right, what right. he's up to, right? So,
right. That requires a little bit of a human touch. So I made sure that he is no longer showing up because he was a guy that was showing up in his starting pitcher DraftKings, starting pitcher two on DraftKings. You know, it's funny too with him. He actually opens. I just don't even get it. He opens at -150 against the A's. So even like an early Vegas look at it, with the money coming in on the Cleveland side. So I just it's just odd. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm with you. I'm not worth taking. It's not worth taking the risk on a guy like him. After Arrieta though. And we kind of said, you know, poo-pooed Bumgarner just because of the matchup. Who else can you even consider here starting pitcher two-wise? Or if you were going to pivot off of Arrieta on FanDuel, is there another place to go?
Yeah, I mean, one guy I was looking at, and this is in a Stars and Scrubs mentality, was Andrew Cashner. He's been not spectacular, but I think he's got a broken price on DraftKings at $4,100. He's not been good. It's four pretty bad starts in a row for him. But he's a guy who's scored like 30 fantasy points in a game this season. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of multiplier just doesn't normally exist. And again, he's not terrific, but in a good home park, and the Royals are I guess not a super, super matchup, but at least the Royals tend not to put up tons of crooked numbers against opposing pitchers. I'm at least looking at him at those prices.
Yeah, the Cashner thing's funny. 4,100 is where you get, you know, a decent hitter, a price for a decent hitter. It's just not a real, like, I'm with you, it's a broken price. I mean, Cashner, at the same time, has been bad. So it's not exactly like you're getting this. I mean, for 4,100, you just need him to go five innings, basically, and not just get totally shelled. So I think you can probably take the risk on it, but there, yeah, I'm with you. That one's a close one for me. I don't know. The starting pitcher two category for DraftKings is kind of yucky today, I think. That's an interesting term, by the way, yucky.
Well, I think it's an interesting sort of crisis of conscience, right? Because if they're going to, you know, routinely put guys down there, like even there are, six, seven pitchers under 5,000 today. And some of them are names that at one point you would have been fairly happy to play in DFS, you know, like John Neese. And again, another guy who's not been good this season, but, and maybe he's not a good play even at 4,700, but I think there's something going on where I think Cashner is my guy. I think where you can look at it and say, you know, at some point it's just so cheap when there aren't other good top tier options that you can kind of do some business by just holding your nose and going for it, you know? Cause like, look at the other options in the more reasonable price range. You want to take Maeda against Bumgarner and the Giants who don't strike out.
Yeah, no.
You want to take Chris Archer against Boston. I mean, even in Tampa Bay, that doesn't look fantastic to me. Jaime Garcia at home against the Mets, I guess is an option and probably arguably the best one in sort of that next tier
even
price 9, range.
Even 9,000 for him.
This is what I mean. He's far from safe. Like he's got some big lines he's put up and especially recently, but I don't know. I mean, he got the win his last start and scored 3 fantasy points.
Right.
So it's not a guy you're just gonna slam home. So, you know, Rodon is erratic, and then the names are all gone. So that's why on a day like today, you know, I've written many times in the articles, like, about certain poor hitting positions, like catcher and shortstop, where you say, you know, today's just a day to figure out who the cheapest guy is and escape the position cheaply. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to get if you're going to get a 1.5 multiplier off your pitcher two today, why not only spend $4,100 instead of spend $9,000?
Right, right.
Just get a better multiplier off of one of your hitters, you know?
So you mentioned Rodon. Rodon's interesting. I could see him coming into some people's systems today. He does have strikeout stuff. He K's about a batter per nine. The Phillies stink. The ballpark doesn't help him at all in pitching in Chicago, so that one doesn't help. It's a little expensive for me, but like, if I was choosing between like Garcia against the Mets and Rodon against the Phillies, I'd probably go with Rodon on the upside. If he could just sort of put a game together, the xFIP is right in that average range for the season, and he, you know, it's not an insignificant sample. He's got 20 starts this year, so he just, like you said, he's erratic. Though I will say he's cut the walks down off his career numbers this year when he's been pitching. And this one's, Rodon strikes me as the most intriguing, and he'll be actually the guy that I look the most closely at to make sure our just projection is correct on him. Because, I don't know, it feels a little low for me. The other guy in that really cheap range on DraftKings is Buchholz. I can't believe I'm saying it, but he's only 4,000 also. He's an underdog against the Rays today for sure because of Archer. But it's a good ballpark. The Rays K a ton against righties. Again, it's Buchholz. He's like basically broken, I think. But it's 4,000, right? Even at 6,000, I wouldn't even mention it. But I don't know. If he pitched 6 innings last time, if they were able to stretch him out to up to 90 pitches and he was able to just not get rocked, that 4,000 price has upside to it if he can dial up the K stuff against the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to hold our breath on the dialing up the K stuff. I'm just a quick look at his game log. The last 10 games, and granted, he was coming out of the bullpen for a good handful of those, so it can't be apples to apples, but 8 strikeouts. Scherzer, Cashner has a couple games with 8 strikeouts or more this season. So
right.
It's Buchholz is a tier below Cashner on the terrible, you know, pitchers who used to be good, now kind of stink. Buchholz is significantly stinkier than Cashner from where I'm coming from. So I do think Rodon's an intriguing option, though. It's a classic case for him of he's trading some walks and getting some strikeouts back in exchange for getting fewer ground balls. He's run a little bit bad on BABIP this season, but giving up a lot of hard contact. He definitely kind of got punished for that in his home park, but the Phillies are not a team, especially, you know, against left-handed pitching, that is going to be particularly likely to crush you. I mean, against either-handed pitching, they're third worst in the league against both lefties and righties, so maybe that's not a distinction that needs to be made. But yeah, good matchup, a lot of upside. The question, and I think, by the way, a fine play for big tournaments, it's just that on DraftKings, I think a lot of times when people go from FanDuel to DraftKings, I know this was my case when I moved from one site to the other because I had played primarily on FanDuel before splashing into DraftKings a little bit more. You don't realize that the multipliers on pitchers, like, so on FanDuel, you're basically always getting your best multiplier on pitchers for the most part, aside from like the true deep punt bets. But like on DraftKings, we've got dozens of guys with as good a pitching projection or as good a points per dollar projection as the pitchers in that $9,000 range, you know, or better. So you just don't need to force in the quote unquote safest pitchers the same way you do on FanDuel.
Yeah, they challenge you more with the pricing there because they'll really bump guys up into the upper echelon. Or like you said, the range is so dramatic that it makes it closer. I think that today I'd be fine. I mean, this is 9:30 Eastern time, so lots can change between now and, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. But I'd be fine, I think, running a couple different lineups, just mixing Arrieta in with some of these other guys at different price points and just maybe just trying to play it along the edges. The Phillies are one of those teams too. They're not like necessarily good, but they will run some righty bats out there that have something in the way of power, like Joseph and Franco out there. Yep. So it's not exactly like you look at that Phillies lineup and say, oh man, he's going to buzz through these guys. It does, again, they're not tippy top of the mountain in terms of talent, But they're righties that can handle lefty bats for, or lefty arms for sure. So, and the ballpark doesn't help his case at all either. This one, it all seems bad to me, a starting pitcher too, frankly.
Yeah, and again, though, like, I don't think you can, like the guys you just listed, Joseph, Franco, and Altair, I don't think you look at those guys and say, like, you're not quaking in your boots, right? Like, if you name the three best hitters on any team against the opposite hand, like, those would be three of the lowest in the league, right? I think that,
for sure.
I think it's a great matchup.
Well, I'm not sure about Franco, but I'm with you. The problem with Rodon is he's significantly worse against righties, and if you have a team that's able to at least just employ righty bats down the lineup, even if they're a little slightly worse than average, it's going to give him more trouble than if you were to face, I'm trying to think of a team that doesn't have, can't stagger it as much.
I mean, I'm not sure about Franco though. Like, what team has a guy who's worse as their premier hitter against a given hand? Like, I'm sure there are teams that are out there, but I don't think Michael Franco's guy that is going to strike fear in your heart. Like, if you face the Cubs, you've got to face, you know, Chris Bryant. You know,
like, oh, I'm not comparing those to them. I wouldn't even be talking about Rodon if he was facing the Cubs, though.
But even teams like the Pirates, you know, like, there are teams, even the Braves have Freddie Freeman. You know, like, there are, I don't know. I guess I'm not spooked. Cherry picking the one guy who can actually hit left-handed pitching on the team is not.
But I wasn't just cherry picking him. I was mentioning guys down the middle. I'm not going to do this query right now on the air because it's going to take me more time than I can talk and waste time to fill sure. it in. But I'm just pretty sure that the splits on the Phillies guys stand to reason that they are A, better against lefty pitching, and the park doesn't help them. And I'm just saying that this is not, it's not a good lineup, but I'm not. I don't feel safe with Rodon in this case. That's all I'm saying, is that I don't think they're good, obviously. I'm only even talking about Rodon because the Phillies aren't that good. I just don't know. Yeah, I just don't feel great about it.
No, I hear what you're saying, and I think that's more a criticism of Rodon for me than it is praise for the Phillies. I guess that's the only distinction I hope to make.
Yeah, and like I said, Rodon has pretty drastic splits when it comes to righty-lefty. He is way below replacement against righties. He's elite against lefties. So if you can get lineups with him that even have like three lefties in it where they just can't pivot to someone else, or like, I don't know, it's like the Nationals, right? Where the Nationals are just going to keep Murphy and Harper in the middle of their lineup. It doesn't matter who they're facing. Where, you know, you actually have a good, Rodon is in somewhat of a better spot in that case because he's so great against lefties, but teams that can just run a train of righties down the lineup, it will give him problems, even if those guys are, you know, average or a little bit below. All right, let's.
I don't know though. I mean, the Nationals are 30 WOBA points ahead of the Phillies in terms of facing left-handed pitching this season. Like, I mean, I guess this is like one of those interesting things where it is sometimes hard to account for the pitchers' platoon splits, like, because not all pitchers' platoon splits are created equal. I think that is a fair point. So, like, a guy like Justin Masterson was famous for this, where he was so good against right-handed pitching and so bad against left-handed pitching that you couldn't just look at the batter's platoon splits in a vacuum. So I'm hearing that. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's definitely no safety there. I guess I just want to make sure we're on good process. That's all.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's move on to any other guys that stand out. We have Taiwan Walker, or have we kind of just covered the old, you know, the poo-poo platter of pitchers that are going here? Musgrove is going against Pittsburgh. Any of these guys excite you at all, stand out to you at all, or just kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're in the tournament play territory for me. I mean, Musgrove, definitely an interesting option. I think people are going to be off him after they took a shot on him against Baltimore at possibly my recommendation. I can't remember exactly if that was my thing or if it was your thing, but
that was a kind of a you thing. Well, he was a chalk play though. Like, he was something like 30 or 35% on FanDuel, which I couldn't believe. Sometimes I'm just really confused about FanDuel ownership prices or ownership percentages on guys. Like, this was one where I'm like, what? You
know, like, he's really cheap, and like, Baltimore can K a lot. Baltimore has a lot of guys that are great against right-handed pitching, and he is really young. But I mean, at the time he was coming off, I think what did he have at the time? Like 21 strikeouts against two walks in 18 major league innings. So he looked like the next best thing, and he still is very, very good. And Pittsburgh is not, you know, not a terrifying matchup. So I could definitely see people rolling it back on him, particularly on DraftKings where he's only 6,500. So
yeah, that's where that price is intriguing, especially too, where you said, I think people will be off of him because people just do, they play the, what have you done for me lately? Especially when he was sort of in the public consciousness last time, and they just see, you know, 35% start, he gets killed, oh, he stinks now. And that's not what I think, but I know people do employ that line of thinking, which is incorrect. All right, let's get off of the pitchers here and move on to the bats. All right, we'll start with catchers. One thing it's probably worth pointing out is that Gary Sanchez, this is where I sometimes just will never understand FanDuel's pricing algorithm, where Sanchez has been awesome. I think he's like 3 home runs in his last 2 games or something like that.
Yep.
He was the – 3 home runs in the last 3 games. And he has, 6 home runs in his last 6 games. So,
I have a new nickname for him, by the way.
Really? Okay, hold on. Save it for a second because I'm sure it's hilarious. So he's also a total chalk play. Goes from 2,900 on FanDuel yesterday to 2,800. So chalk play / been awesome drops in price. I just don't really understand it.
I think they definitely had the API out before his 2 home run game.
That's a good point. That's a good point. They had that posted before they played. Yeah, that's fair enough. Do you think is he the chalk play again at 2,800 against Walker today?
I can't imagine that he's not. It's going to be, it's not as good a matchup as he's had recently, but he showed that he has the power to put it out there in Seattle anyway. So I suspect that people will go back to the well. Walker, interesting too, by the way, came back after a long stint on the DL and didn't strike anyone out in 4 innings. So
right.
The guy who's known for his electric K upside could be something a cut worse than he has been in the past here. So,
and it's worth noting that Sanchez is up to 4,300 on DraftKings, so it's not as clear cut of a play over there. It's mostly just that 2,800 price on Sanchez on FanDuel the ownership numbers on him are going to be kind of through the roof. What was your hilarious nickname for him?
Okay, so follow me for a second.
Yeah.
So he's in New York.
Okay.
Franchise that's been failing a little bit. He's coming back. He's kind of the savior. He's kind of the heir apparent to Jeter, Posada, Rivera, those guys, Bernie, you know. A lot of times people are like, oh, he's a franchise player. What if we called him the Sanchez?
I knew right when you said the word franchise earlier, it was just this stupid path you were going to take.
You didn't know anything, dude. You can't read my mind.
I can't read your mind, actually.
Not a mind reader.
All right. Other than him, is there another place to go at catcher today? Besides him, I think it's actually a great time to get away from him in probably tournaments because he'll be heavily owned there as well. And
you do not think he'll hit 2 home runs tonight then? You're not calling a double dong for him?
No, I'll never. I would absolutely never call a double dong for anybody. It's the silliest thing ever. But it's so funny. After him, is there any other guy you can consider?
Yeah, catcher is always I mentioned catcher earlier as my sort of stock position that stinks on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah.
And tonight, unfortunately, not too different from that. I mean, Victor Martinez is very reasonably priced on FanDuel in a good matchup against Kyle Gibson. I think he'll be a guy that competes with Sanchez, although, you know, in the what have you done for me lately category, Sanchez wins just because he hits a home run every day. So that that definitely helps his case. I think that you wouldn't be remiss to go real cheap at the position too, like depending on where Matt Wieters is batting in the lineup. But, you know, if you want safety, I think hanging out of that 3,000-ish range is going to be where a lot of people wind up.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. Our system's pretty high on Baltimore guys today, Orioles guys, and I'm just not – I just can't really figure out Ronaldo Lopez because, like, Ronaldo Lopez against 2 games ago against Atlanta goes 7 innings, strikes out 2, 100 pitches, and then plays Atlanta again 5 days later, goes 7 innings and strikes out 11. His K numbers are pretty are elite through 4 games, through 4 starts at 10.3 per 9. He walks a ton of guys too, so he's up close to 4. He's just kind of a regular guy, but I really get worried about pitchers like this, especially in terms of stacking or when the system is pulling out a lot of bats against guys who might be wild, but actually can dial up the Ks at certain times.
I think that's very fair.
The Orioles ran into this last night with AJ Cole. Cole gets the spot start for Strasburg and was just buzzing through the lineup. And yes, the Orioles had a high implied run total, but it was one of those where I think Vegas is probably having a little trouble figuring out exactly. Like, there's way more downside to pitching against facing a guy that can just get out of innings by striking guys out. So I'm a little concerned on the Orioles just overall on the run line, and also just that the system is pulling a lot of those guys out. Let's go on to first base.
Yeah, well, let's dive onto Lopez for a quick second. He's a guy, I mean, evaluating baseball prospects is really, really hard, even for the experts. Like, you know, and I don't count myself in the category of evaluating baseball prospects. It's something we used to dabble in a lot more, but don't follow it now because it's just not worth our time.
Right. Well, DFS we used to dabble, just to be clear, we used to dabble it from a statistical perspective. Like we would, that's what you mean.
Yeah, right? We didn't go out with like the radar gun.
I just want to make sure it's not everyone's going to know that.
Although I did attend a number of Cape Cod League games this year. Mostly because I was on vacation in Cape Cod. And by a number, I mean one game.
We'll talk about that. We'll do a separate podcast about that and some of your thoughts.
Yeah, we should start our own Cape Cod League podcast. That'd be so awesome. But interesting about Lopez, I think he led all double A pitchers this year in K percentage, which is pretty good. Right. So he's definitely, but he didn't have the track record before that. So it's kind of puzzling to figure out which is the real Reynaldo Lopez, but a guy who's young, and showing that kind of improvement this year definitely could be more than his prospect ranking coming into the year, I guess. Like, I think a lot of people will just look at a preseason list and say, this guy wasn't a big prospect, you know? But he's definitely more in the real prospect category than most.
Right. Yeah. So I just get a little worried because our system's pulling out some of these Orioles guys, and this is just the exact situation where I kind of don't want it to, but I understand why, because this is an unknown quantity.
Well, and they've got one of the highest implied totals. Vegas agrees with us, right? Like, do they have the highest implied run total today? The Orioles, they did.
Right, and I think that, and that's just the whole thing that just something just smells off to me. I'm with you. They have upside for sure. He's not an ace by any means. He walks way too many guys to.
And again, it's the question of who else are you going to play? Like, right. I guess you could stack the Blue Jays. They would be a very reasonable stack against Skaggs. You want to catch a case of Skaggs tonight? You can go over to Toronto, the Rogers Center, and you know hope you can cure it at some point, but.
We'll blow through a couple of positions here really fast before we get out of here. At first base, we're pulling out Chris Davis. It's kind of that same Weeders category. Tommy Joseph's the guy that shows up. Does it worry you when you get these cheaper bats that have power upside, but they also are in those situations, like we said before, where there is downside, especially with the Ks?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. I mean, guys strike out. It's just another way to make an out. And while that can be troubling for your cash game purposes, because, you know, you can't really get a lot of those other peripheral stats or counting stats, I should say, when you strike out, like you can't get RBIs at random, like, you know, you ground into a fielder's choice and then score a run eventually. Mm-hmm. Striking out doesn't really scare me that much. Although, you know, facing a strikeout pitcher can just increase your variance. But I mentioned Eddie Encarnacion from Toronto. I love the Blue Jays today. Skaggs is a guy that falls right in that Reynaldo Lopez category of a guy who can definitely dial up big strikeout numbers. Unlike Lopez, he hasn't really done it at the major league level yet, although he's had a little bit more success striking guys out this season than he had in the past, and had been sort of electric in his brief rehab stint in the minors this season. But Encarnacion and the Blue Jays just, you know, have way too many right-handed bats to make it feel like a comfortable start for Skaggs out there. So Encarnacion, I believe, will be the most owned and sort of chalk first baseman today.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Blue Jays opened at 5.5 implied runs right around there. We had them, and then they've dropped since a half a run to 5. And I just don't know what that's for. I don't know if that's the roof is going to stay open for the game, and there's information on that early, although I'm not sure how much they do that for night games. But I know that when the roof being open or closed in Toronto does make a difference in terms of overall power, because I'm pretty sure when it's open, it suppresses power. But that 10% run line drop has me a little concerned there, but we probably need to dive into exactly what we think the reasons for that are. I don't mind Jose Abreu still coming sort of cheaper. The White Sox are on our team that stand to put up a decent amount of runs against Thompson today. Good ballpark. He's hit righties well for his career, and he's still coming just a little tick below the other guys like Encarnacion, a little tick below Miggy at 4,000. So I don't mind.
Yeah, very reasonable. Abreu is kind of like in my mind, a classic bum hunter too. So facing a bum today really helps. Jake Thompson. And Abreu, like, I can just channel my inner Joe Morgan here and just call him streaky, but sure feels like he's a guy who, at least this season, has clustered his home runs a little bit. Like the early in the season, he had two home runs in a three-game stretch. Then he had two home runs in a three-game stretch again in May, scattered one home run, then three home runs in a five-game stretch, and two home runs in a four-game stretch. Like, and he's on a little heater now, three home runs in a four-game stretch, two home runs in a two-game stretch. That's a lot of time saying games in a game stretch.
I was just going to say,
that was kind of a tongue twister.
The amount of times you said game and stretch in that last like 45 seconds has to be some kind of podcasting record.
It's definitely a record for me.
It almost lulled me completely to sleep, actually. I almost did just pull the header down into the shelf that's next to me and had to fall on it.
I'm over here trying my best, just putting my heart out there, being vulnerable for the listeners, and to be mocked by you for that hurts.
You're trying your best. Yeah, my kid tries her best when she tries to draw a picture of Harry Potter. It still ends up looking like something not like Harry Potter. So
you said that. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to call her right now.
What, my daughter?
Yeah. I'm going to call her on that fake phone you have for her.
The fake phone she was using yesterday to call your son. I know. All right, let's move on for this. We're really getting off the rails. Second base. Give me a guy or two I can play here. Let's buzz through these last positions pretty quickly before we get out of here. Anyone standing out to you at second base?
Yeah, there's a number of guys. I don't think no one is really jumping off the page as someone I want to just jam home because it's the best play ever. But there's some good value guys. I think Zobrist against Christian Friedrich today, the lousy lefty out in San Diego. Although, again, are you thrilled to play a guy in San Diego from an upside perspective that doesn't have elite power? Probably not. And then there's other like cheapish safe guys. Greg Garcia showing up very high. If he bats high in the lineup again tonight, then he'll be a reasonable play. And in fact, he'll probably be sort of chalkish, I would think. But, you know.
I don't know, though, because he hit leadoff a couple games ago, and it was in that same cheap area, and people just didn't do it. Our system will never get away from a guy that's like 2,200 hitting leadoff, really almost against.
Yeah, we've talked about Garcia in the past, but it's been a little bit while. He's a real player, like a guy with real on-base skills, batting in the top of a lineup in a nice matchup. So definitely another classic case for me of a guy who's probably too cheap for the safety in particular. Like his floor against a crappy pitcher like John Neese is just so high that I don't know. Like it would be tough for me, barring some exciting option or again a big tournament. Garcia to me not a hugely exciting big tournament play, especially lefty lefty there. But and you know he frankly just might not even get the start lefty lefty against Neese.
Yeah, I'm realizing
just a guy I'm going to keep an eye on anyway.
It's probably going to be Pham. I was thinking about the lefty lefty thing as you were talking. I think it's probably Pham that hits leadoff too. Who actually falls into that same sort of category?
Yeah, true. Neese so bad though. I don't know. Like, whatever.
Let's hit up third base and shortstop here. Third base, you talked a little bit about you know, like in the Blue Jays today, Donaldson's a guy facing the lefty in Toronto. I think we can take a look at. Is there anyone else that kind of jumps off the page to you at third base?
Yeah, Donaldson a phenomenal spot to pay up today with a lack of like really elite spots to pay up. I really, really like him quite a bit. I don't mind Jake Lamb clean up against Robbie Whalen in Arizona, you know, much, much better hitter's park than Whalen's been pitching at in Atlanta. The third base is actually a spot where it's a tremendous spot to pay up, I think. Chris Bryant, Manny Machado, all these guys have favorable matchups. So, yeah, definitely a lot of good spots to pay up. Although, if you are in that cheaper range, Jake Lamb, very, very reasonable if you're having trouble paying up.
Yeah, they're finally gotten smart and hitting him in the middle of the order behind Goldschmidt against righties. Yep. Good ballpark. He was another guy that was somewhat chalky last night and underperformed, so I could see people talking themselves out of that. Third base is a great position today. This is the hardest one probably in terms of making a decision on who to play because there's just so much value. The opposite
of that. It's the hardest and the easiest in some ways too because it's going to be tough to make a huge mistake at third base. Right. Like, really for any format because all the guys we mentioned, even Lamb, have both upside and a reasonable amount of safety thanks to matchups and overall skill level. So that's actually going to be a position where I'm going to not probably take as much time to wade through everything.
Interesting. The shortstop falls sort of in those same team ranges that we talked about before. I'm going to just blow through shortstop here. You have Tulo against the lefty, sort of for all the same reasons we had Donaldson and Encarnacion. Tim Anderson, if he's hitting up at the top of the lineup again, we're against a guy like Thompson who doesn't have tons of K stuff, which is Anderson's Achilles heel. If he can get on base and steal a base, I like the upside on him coming under 3,000. And then like those Cubs guys, Baez and Russell, who qualify both at shortstop. Well, I mean, Russell plays shortstop, but especially if they can hit somewhere around the middle of the lineup against Friedrich. But like you said, the ballpark does suppress the power on the Cubs upside. Yeah, but their prices have dropped after coming out of course.
Any love to Johnny Peralta?
Nah, probably not. Going. I mean, like, he's fine, but 3,000, like, I'd rather play Russell at 3,000 against Friedrich on FanDuel than Peralta, probably. I don't know.
Peralta, 6 hits in his last 2 games, Doug. Riding a little hot streak.
I mean, Tulo at 3,200, it's not that close for me. There's just other guys.
Peralta, wait for me to get off board and not ride the Tulo train. I mean, Tulo in the lefty righty in the Rogers Center at 3,200 is a very, very easy play. So that's a great call. But just giving the people a little bit of a GPP thing. For me, it's like, where's the fire? You know, why rush through the position and not find the hidden gems underneath?
Well, the reason to rush through the position is because we're going to bust up against 40 minutes with a football podcast still to do. So that's the only reason.
That's okay, Doug. We got time.
Do we? All right, let's hit the outfield really fast. The guys that jump to the top here, Bryce Harper is against Gausman. Are we going to Bryce Harper at 4,000 on FanDuel? Do you feel like he's going to be, you know our system. I know the system. Is he going to be a guy that ends up every lineup on FanDuel at 4,000?
It sure seems like it. Gausman, a guy who, you know, sort of up and down, real prospect, et cetera, but not a guy that's going to have, the system's going to have you fade Harper on, especially given the high total in the game today, so.
Yeah, I really like the way that the early FanDuel lineups, excuse me, not early games, but like the way the FanDuel lineups are sort of shaking out now, because if you're getting Arrieta plus like guys like Harper and a couple other reasonable bats.
And Donaldson.
Yeah, Donaldson at 10 o'clock Eastern, then these are just probably going to be the guys that end up there with some other just cheaper lineup related bats that come in around it. And yeah, I just like the way from a safety perspective that things are lining up there for all the same opposite reasons on DraftKings, but other outfielders that like look to you sort of as value-ish plays, or I mean, we've kind of been on thematically on a couple different teams, but are there any guys that stand out to you in the outfield?
Yeah, you mentioned Tommy Pham. I think that's a great call. If he's going to bat lead off against Nice, just a tremendous play. Justin Upton, DFSR classic, Justin Upton might be a good off-board value play, although people might be a little bit more on board after his famous double dong game on the 21st, his last time out there. So, yeah, there's some good value. I mean, Mike Trout, I think, a reasonable play against R.A. Dickey in the Rogers Center. Although, if I had to pick one high-priced outfielder, and you might have to if you want to play Arrieta, it's going to be Harper. And then the Baltimore guys, you know, whoever Baltimore winds up throwing out there against Reynaldo Lopez in a nice hitter's park in Camden Yards is going to be at least high upside, if not very, very safe against a high K guy.
Yeah, a guy that always comes into our system pretty regularly because the it's a price and opportunity thing. Hyunsoo Kim is just a guy that shows up a ton in optimal lineups for us, and I get why. Like, he's a great on-base guy. Like, he's 400 on-base this year, relatively unknown quantity coming into the season, obviously. But if he's just going to hit second in the lineup and have, get on base 40% of the time at 3,000 on FanDuel, then I know he's like not exciting, and that's why people don't tend to play him that much, because it's just kind of like he doesn't really hit for really any power, but he just also doesn't really strike out, and he just walks so much that the floor on him, I really like it. Then that's one of the reasons that's a guy that comes out in our system a lot, just, you know, cheap and gets on base.
Yeah, he's a classic cash game play. I mean, if his name was Daniel Murphy or something, he would be more expensive. Like, he's cheap primarily because it feels weird to put him in your lineup because you just never heard of him, basically.
Right, so. And he's never done anything over the course of the season. Like, again, he doesn't hit home runs, right? He only has 4 home runs and 250 plate appearances, but, like, that walk rate is just, people just really undervalue that. Like, they just don't understand that, continuously do not understand that you don't need to hit home runs to win. You just need to score points, right? Like, get points, get on base. And the best way to get points is to just get on base and let guys like Machado and, you know, Trumbo and Davis behind you do something. So I just love the walk rate on him.
Yeah.
And
another interesting note on Hyunsoo Kim. This year he's in the zero infield fly ball category.
Oh, the Joey Votto territory.
Yeah, exactly. He's an honorary Joey Votto member. A lot of hard contact. So just to support, a lot of people might look at him and say, 360 BABIP, like, that's pretty high. That is pretty high. He's probably not a true talent 360 BABIP guy, but the 330 is very, very reasonable for someone who never gives away free outs by popping up.
And he's the exact guy, too, against a guy like Lopez, who's shown that he will just get wild. There's a chance where his strikeout stuff is because he's getting a lot of, you know, chase, swing and miss chases. That's yep. Without really just looking at the total like swinging strike numbers, which I'm not going to do now. Whenever a guy has a high K rate, but also a high walk rate, he strikes me as that's his profile. Is he just getting you to chase all over the place? And a guy like him has shown that that's just not really how he operates. So I really like him in the middle of the order. Mm-hmm. All right, dude, I think we are good for today. Interesting day of baseball. Arrieta seems like he's the chalk to go. Be wary of what's happening there at starting pitcher two on DraftKings. And then some of those teams we mentioned, Toronto, the Cubs, White Sox, all looked for pretty interesting plays today. Any last words by you? Any like really, really
football season, baby. I know you're going to promote it in a second, but I am over the moon about the new player lab that we've been tinkering around with. That Blake helped us make over at DFSR.com. It's really, really something. And I don't know if you mentioned, but right now you can actually go to dailyfantasysportsrankings.com/lab. And you can get a free 2-week trial of the NFL system.
I'm so used to
yeah, just leading you up into football season. So, so you can sit there and you can tinker to your heart's content right up until the beginning of football season, and yeah, make tons of money, dude. Because it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm so used to saying the free 3-day trial that I'm gonna need to reprogram my brain to free 14-day trial or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's gonna be 13 days tomorrow, so it's gonna go down one day each day. So you can't just wait and get a 2-week trial like the day before football season.
But, how'd you calculate that, by the way?
Like just Excel? X minus one. Yeah, it's an algebra form. Algebra is a kind of math. It's a formula that I use to. I asked my son about it actually. If I take one away each day, how many on each day? And he helped me. So
wow, he knew that. He uses Excel too. Interesting. All right, so that's it for us today. We'll check you guys out tomorrow, and we'll put a link to our NFL podcast, which we're going to get on in the next couple of minutes. Talk to you guys then again tomorrow.
Adios.